Welcome to another episode of Happily Everything Disney. I'm your host, Matt, and with me is Christina.
Hey, hey.
And Mike.
Yo, yo, what's going on?
What's going on? We got the crew back tonight. So we are we're starting a new series. I'm calling it the Proper Series. And if you're a family that goes to Disney World every 3 to 5 years, let's say, and you hit each park one time, what needs to be done from each park to make it feel like it's an accomplishment, right? Like if there's something that you left that you didn't do, you know, like you would feel like not whole, not complete. And we came up with, you know, from just kind of looking at a standard Magic Kingdom day, right? Now we're going to talk a little bit about Genie Plus, but that's not really what this is about. This is about attractions and experiences and things that I think should be prioritized if you're going every 3 to 5 years. And we're going to go around to the different parts of the park and kind of look at this as you have 10 hours at Magic Kingdom, right? So maybe forget the pool break, or you got Genie Plus and you could take the pool break, right? But you know, maybe the park's open 9 to 11 or whatever. So we're going to try for the most part to stick to around 10 per park, but we had a tough time with some cuts. So we got to 11 with Magic Kingdom. And again, I feel like that's kind of okay because Magic Kingdom usually open longer, right? You're not going to want to do this during a party day, right? Unless you do, you know, Magic Kingdom in the morning and still have the party at night, but that kind of creates its own thing. But again, you're the family. Let's say you have a 7-year-old and a 13-year-old, right? Boy, girl, doesn't matter. Your family of 4, your family of 6, whatever. What is like required at a Magic Kingdom? And that's where we're going. So we're going to first start in Tomorrowland. And I'm going to go to Christina first. Christina, where are we starting at? If we're going to, you know, we enter in Magic Kingdom, we're going down Main Street, and we're breaking a right to Tomorrowland. Where are we starting?
All right. So obviously, this is really one that Matt should be doing because this is like, I don't know. This ride always reminds me of you, like, because it's always at the top of your list. But obviously, we have to go right to Space Mountain because, I mean, how could you go to Tomorrowland and not run right to space, right? So I think we can all pretty much agree that that's something that you're going to hightail it to, at least checking out the situation. And it can be one where you can, I think, Matt, you had some good experiences where you got on and off Space Mountain pretty quick a couple times here and there. I think we've all had some experiences where we had to wait and everything, but for the most part, we want to check that out and see what kind of waiting we got there. It's always at the top of the list.
Yeah, well said. I mean, it's an oldie and goodie, and it's really, if you just think about Disney World, like going to Magic Kingdom and not getting on Space Mountain. Again, you're not going for another 4 years, 5 years. You got to knock out Space Mountain. Mike, any quick thoughts on space?
I mean, if you love a jerky roller coaster, this is it, right? I mean, this will jerk you.
This for 5 more years, though. That's the nice thing. So it's a jerk for a couple minutes, and then you're not getting jerked anymore.
Right. It is a very classic attraction. It's something too that if you're lucky enough to experience it during a holiday party, like the Mickey's Not So Scary Party or the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, you might potentially get an overlight too, which is a very unique spin on it as well. But definitely in this scenario, probably a must do. It's definitely a must do for our family at least one time, especially if we're only coming to Magic Kingdom, you know, one time in every 3 to 5 years.
All right, Mike, where are we going next in Tomorrowland?
So you can pivot two ways. You can go further into Tomorrowland to the outskirts and hit the brand new attraction, Tron. And that's what, you know, we're going to do. We're going to stick with the theme here. We're going to ride a light cycle and go on the brand new attraction. the must do that has all the bells and whistles, an incredible experience. I love the attraction. I enjoy the queue. I think when you first enter and you get digitized is really cool experience. I think the ride itself, very short, and that's probably the one knock that this ride gets is how short the ride is. But Matt, I know we've done it a couple times. Getting to do it during the day and then potentially getting a different experience at night when it's all lit up on the outside underneath the canopy is just a really great experience. And Christina, I don't think you did Tron, did you?
No, just missed it.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to when you get your next trip and when you do Tron. Definitely be a cool experience for you and your family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Christina.
I'm loving the pictures you guys have from it. Everybody seems like they get like the most rock star pictures from Tron. It's such a silly thing to be excited about, but shout out to PhotoPass.
Yeah, and I'll give you a tip. Make sure you just kind of sit up a little bit, even though they kind of want you to like go all the way flat. Just sit up a little bit. It takes some pressure off your back. But you know, Tron, I think Tron is like, it's going to grow to be like an underrated gem. Excuse me. It's going to be like an underrated gem. It's a short ride, but you know, Mike, we talked about this before. I love just how they build anticipation, you know, and I don't want to get crazy with spoilers just for Christina. She's probably heard some of this already, but just the way the queue is kind of laid out and kind of that moment that you're watching first and then you're in that moment, it just builds the right anticipation. And it's a super smooth ride. It's got nice pickup to it. I think it's a great ride. Like, honestly, you know, Tron, if I went to Magic Kingdom tomorrow, I'd be in the virtual queue and I'd buy the individual lightning lane. But for our sake of time, we're going to find a way to ride it once and Tron makes our list. Thirdly, okay, so just so you know, we all kind of came up with a consensus on the ones that belonged. And then we kind of had, you know, like a host choice, right? So this is a host choice that I'm using up here. And I'm going with Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. I think it's a tremendous show. You'll be very busy going from ride to ride. And I think it's hilarious. It puts you in the middle of the action. It will, you know, if you're one of those, you know, people that kind of get, you know, gets a little scared about maybe getting on stage or being the center of attention, I could see where that might be a drawback, but they play it off so well and they tend to kind of focus on kids. So your kids will probably get picked on potentially and they'll pick on some just random old guy or something in the crowd, but it is absolutely hilarious. And it's all there in Tomorrowland. So, you know, we tried to pick some shows. I mean, I think you'll find when we start doing the other parks, there'll be shows a little bit more prevalent. But Magic Kingdom it's kind of got a little bit of everything. So Monsters was my pick in Tomorrowland. And I think, do we want, Mike, Christine, any feedback about Monsters before we move on?
You know what I will say about Monsters is that even though, like, going with what you said about someone who doesn't like to be, you know, the center of attention and stuff, I don't think I've ever had an experience, and that is something that we typically try to do, but I don't think I've ever had an experience where anyone was not a good sport about it. Like, it's just such a lighthearted environment and stuff that even if you do get picked for something, everybody is just, like, in it for the fun, and the kids, like, it's just good, honest fun. So, yeah, it's really cute. The kids and adults get to laugh at it. So,
agreed. Yeah, no additional feedback here. Well said. I mean, you get definitely a different experience, and it's nice to actually sit down on an attraction, especially on your feet when you're on your feet all day, and potentially no wait too. You know, maybe like you wait a couple minutes before the next show starts. So that's always a good thing too in Disney.
Yes, good point.
Yeah, so we're leaving Tomorrowland, and you know, if you're a listener, you know we're leaving some really good attractions in Tomorrowland, but we had to make cuts, right? So no People Mover, no Carousel Progress, no Buzz Lightyear, no Astro Orbiter. Like, we're no Tomorrowland Speedway. We We're moving on. We're moving to Fantasyland. And we're going to do, I guess I'll start this one out. We're going to do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which was actually one that I kind of forgot. Christina reminded me. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you're probably going to have to eat the individual lightning lane for, unless it goes to Genie Plus and, you know, in a couple months or 3 months when Tiana's opens. You know, it's the classic, you know, family roller coaster a la Slinky Dog Dash. I don't think it's as good as Slinky Dog Dash, but it's a ride that gets everybody smiling. You know, you feel like you're on the mine train, you're going through a cave, you're seeing the dwarves and the animatronics at the end. It's really like that 7 year old is going to light up with it. If it's their first roller coaster, they're going to really love it. And the 13-year old is going to enjoy it too. So I think it's like the perfect blend of attraction there that kind of hits all ages. And you could probably put grandma and grandpa on there. You can't put my grandma, you know, my mom and well, I can put my dad on, but I can't put my mom on a roller coaster still, but you can get most grandmas on there, I'm thinking. So Christina, I know you featured it. You have any other thoughts about it?
No, just, you know, always, I know we're doing our perfect day here and stuff, but there's, like you said, I just want to mention that there's different options and different ways to you know, plan your day out and bounce around. And I know that Mike being a rope dropper too, like there's different forms and ways to do this. Even if it is every few years, our family typically doesn't go all the time. So, you know, there's the lightning lane options, there's Genie Plus options, there's rope dropping options. But for my family in particular, just like these guys, that ride is just something that you have to do. And no matter how popular it is or how intimidating it might be to try to get on it, there's always a way to make sure that you can get on there. And, you know, it some things we may have to go back and fill in the things that we miss and stuff, but this is one of those rides you have to prioritize when you can get on there, because it's not always the lowest wait time.
Yeah, true that.
Mike, what do you think?
No, yeah, all good points. I will say, you know, next month it'll be 10 years old. And it still runs, you know, extremely smooth, the coaster itself. It's definitely a fun attraction. It's your perfect family coaster. It gives you enough of a thrill, but nothing like too intimidating for the young ones. So, you know, it's definitely a classic, and we target it all the time when we're in Magic Kingdom.
All right, Mike, what's next up at Fantasyland?
So, yeah, there's a lot of attractions you can choose from at Fantasyland. And like Matt said earlier, we have to make some cuts. So I wanted to include a show, and my favorite show in Magic Kingdom, when I say show, it's more like a, you know, attraction show, is Mickey's PhilharMagic, which is a 4D film that is at the Fantasy Theater. It's 12 minutes long. It's got a lot of 3D effects with different scents, you know, some water getting tossed at you. And you're seeing the different films throughout Disney history, right? You got Beauty and the Beast, Fantasia, Little Mermaid, Lion King, the Coco with a new scene from Coco not too long ago. Was it recently added? Peter Pan, Aladdin, and of course, Mickey and Donald. Kind of doing their thing in the beginning, at the end of it, you know, Donald trying to get the sorcerer hat throughout the scenes. Just a very, very entertaining film. It's great for all ages. It's the theater itself, the screen itself, 150 feet. I think it's the largest 3D theater ever built, or screen ever built, something like that is what I read before. It's just, it's awesome, especially when they open the curtain and it just expands to like the sides. And you don't know where to look, because there's so much going on the film. And I really enjoy it every time. It's definitely a must for our Magic Kingdom day. And it seats a lot of people. So wait, you're not really waiting that long. You get to sit down in a nice comfortable chair compared to some other shows. So, it checks a lot of boxes for me and my family. So we love it, and we target it all the time for our Magic Kingdom Day.
That's got to be up there. I mean, it's got all your classic characters, and then it's got, you know, scenes from new movies and stuff like Coco. You know, I think the projection's better. It really is fantastic. So I agree, Mike. And then, Christina, we're leaving a lot. Fantasyland, right? Including, you know, Under the Sea, right? We're leaving because we're out. We're busting out. Peter Pan's Flight. It's a Small World. We're not doing it, right? We're moving on. We're the Carousel, right? We're just skipping by all those.
The teacups.
The teacups. That's right.
It hurts to walk by the teacups, guys. It really, really hurts. But unfortunately,
what about the hold on, Christina, Barnstormer.
Well, that's
I know. I mean, do we even have time in the schedule to fit in the whole Big Top area? I mean, this is it's punching me right in the stomach that we can't even talk about Dumbo. But I want you guys to know that there is room for Dumbo. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. So we're just getting our things done here. We're getting the must needs done. It does not mean that we can't get some time in there for Barnstormer to wait in line for an hour for that 2-minute coaster. Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys don't worry. There's always a chance.
It's just,
but right
we're
now
moving on. We're just moving on.
We can't do it, guys. We can't. We gotta get out our eye patch.
We do.
Because we're heading over to Adventureland.
That's right.
So what do we love in Adventureland? Something that you guys missed on your first boys trip that you were so crushed about, and that is Pirates of the Caribbean. We love some pirates. Do we love the smells? I go nuts over the smells on that ride. Like I don't even know if it's on purpose, but don't you guys think like the outside queue has a smell too?
It does, yeah. It's got like the cannon smell maybe or something, or yeah.
I was thinking the musky water smell.
Yeah. It is. It's the musky water smell. And God help me if I am not thirsty enough to drink that water in there, but the water has a taste at the fountain too. And I can promise you that I have delightfully drank it on many hot days. But that being said,
which water did you drink?
The fountain, when you're standing in the queue and you just got to refill your bottle, the water fountain in Pirates, it's your typical Florida.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
but it's just maybe a little extra bad. It might be a little extra.
But it's from the queue. It's from the ride.
H2O.
No, that's what I'm saying. They got some pipes going from the ride. They come to the water fountain.
They do. Yeah. Oh. It's unfortunate.
That's funny.
But at any rate, it's quenched our thirst. So who am I to
It's a must do.
It is. You go to Pirates, you drink the bad water, you smell all the smells, and it's a good time.
Yeah, I agree. Well said. Are we going to Frontierland yet, or are we still hanging out in Adventureland?
I mean, there's only
Jungle Cruise. There's Carpets of Aladdin. Jungle Cruise, and there's the Tiki Room.
Yeah, that's it.
We're leaving it all behind.
This was Family Treehouse.
Yeah, that's true too. We're Bolton, man.
We might stop for a Dole Whip, but other than that, we're going to Frontierland.
You're right, Christina. We're done with Adventureland, and we are going to talk about food at the end. So we'll kind of throw a table service and a snack or quick service in there. But in terms of attractions and experiences, guys, we're skipping these other stuff, right? If we just got one day, right? That's it. So we're going to Frontierland. Which we might hang out a little bit more. Mike, what are we doing in Frontierland?
We'll start with what's open as of this recording, and we're going to go to Big Thunder Mountain, and very classic attraction that opened in 1980. I remember being terrified going on this when I was like 4 or 5. I don't have many memories from that trip. Actually, this is the only memory I have. My dad forced me to go on it, and I was like scared to death on it. But it's funny. I did the same thing to my kids when they were younger, but they loved
it. I'm sitting here thinking about your mom. I'm like, what do you mean? You did it to your mom.
Well, not on Thunder Mountain. Not on Thunder
Mountain, but she has seen some treacherous treacherous rides.
Yeah.
I digress. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Yeah, it's sad to be said. But Thunder Mountain is another classic Disney roller coaster attraction. And what I love about it is the length that you get on this ride, right? You get, it's not like Tron or Barnstormer, right, where it's under, 90 seconds or a minute. You're getting a good solid 4 minutes, I think, on this ride. And you get a lot of action going on, going through the turns, going up and down, kind of seeing the view of the big rock kind of canyon thing. And you kind of see like the battle scenes kind of going on. You hear the gunshots going off. You hear the bats when you're in the cave. And then, the boneyard as you're going down that stretch at the very end. I really enjoy it. And it's definitely a must for our family. Matt.
Absolutely.
Christina.
Yeah, I mean, Big Thunder Mountain, I kind of feel is like probably on my overrated list overall. But if I'm not going back to Magic Kingdom in 5 years, I got to get on Big Thunder Mountain for sure. I do really like it. I'll say this, and I probably sound so spoiled. It is better at Disneyland. But it's still a great attraction. Still love it overall. I just love the setting and the loud track and stuff. So it's great. No qualms about it. Christina, any other thoughts?
You know what? It's a silly little side thought though, but I love taking an advantage of the little sitting area on the water there right in front of Big Thunder Mountain, because I just think throwing this out there is beneficial to anyone who may need an occasional spot, because Magic Kingdom can get pretty crowded and you don't always have somewhere to just like sit and take a load off or anything. But we almost always use the little area. There's a little sitting area in front of Big Thunder Mountain. And I swear that's our little sunscreen port. It's covered with the top, and the kids just like to look in the water. So while you're putting sunscreen on one, the other one's looking for fish and seeing what they can see of Tom Sawyer's and everything. So just wanted to throw that out there for, if you're traveling with the little ones and stuff and you're like not knowing the park like the back of your hand, just look for those little spots where you could just take a minute and reapply sunscreen, or give the little one a moment off their foot, or anything like that. But it's just something, a little tidbit that makes me happy when I think about that ride also, just having that little area to get caught up on stuff.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, I like it. So Matt, why don't you indulge on the very next must do for Frontierland?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you end up going to Disney World right now and you catch it right now, you're missing something great. Splash Mountain was and might be like everybody's top five. Like, it's such a great ride. And we haven't had it in the last year and a half, but if you go starting in the summer, you're going to have this in the arsenal again, and it just completes that northwestern part of Magic Kingdom, right? And it just completes Frontierland, and it's always funny because you really could never really rope drop that area because it didn't open. It was always like Fantasyland and Tomorrowland would open first. Otherwise, I'd say you knock out Frontierland first, right? There was still some strategy with that, but obviously Splash converting to, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, without even riding it, none of us have. It's all a must ride. It absolutely goes on the list. I would say, if it's super hot, try to get it in the middle of the day, hopefully you have a lightning lane for it or a virtual queue. Who knows how it's going to be laid out, but, it's a can't miss ride. You get a little wet. It's got some great drops. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of animatronics. There's going to be more familiar music with the Princess and the Frog soundtrack intertwined. I cannot wait for this thing to open up. Christina, you excited about Tiana's?
I am just so intently watching all of the different little things. Like every time like a piece of artificial bush or something goes up, I just like clap a little. It's so silly. I know on our podcast we tease a lot about construction progress, and I've been pleasantly surprised with how quick we kind of were spitting out little things here and there. Oh, maybe they'll get it done early or this and that, but it really is getting so exciting, you know, seeing the fake people trying it out, then seeing, you know, VIPs try it out and everything. And I just, I mean, realistically, they didn't throw the whole ride away and start over. It has the bones of Splash to it. And with the Tiana theme, it's really going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. My wife and I are annual pass holders. I told her that, there's the potential that we literally do just – we fly there in the morning. We do the attraction, get something to eat, and then we fly home that day.
I love it, man. I love it.
That's how much we're really looking forward to this. And I just cannot wait. I'm getting excited seeing all the testing that's going on with a lot of the Imagineers, you know, riding it and everything. And that just tells me that it's soon. It's coming up soon. So I can't wait.
You know, and they have that awesome summer deal going on right now too. Like if you want to buy tickets, and they're going to have this next summer too. Like I guarantee it. It's the, you know, the four, what is it? It's $400 for 4 days, but you have to go to different parks per person. That's pretty good. So like a family of four, you know, that's $600. That means you're going to get on Tiana's bike. You mentioned you got to go in the summer. That's the drawback. But like you said, Mike, if you're an AP person, man, you don't do it down and back, you know, do it with Tina, you know, and you'll get it in. You could probably do it twice if you plan accordingly. So awesome. Love it. All right. So in Frontierland, we're going to leave some other things aside. We're going to leave Country Bears, which could be, it's being rethemed. Can't wait to see what it is. We're leaving the Shooting Arcade, which, by the way, there's some rumors that that's going away just today. Some rumors that that's going to be converted to a DVC lounge. What else is in Frontierland? You know, the boat.
Tom Sawyer Island.
Yeah. You know, no big deal. So you're going to be leaving that stuff behind. And I think that's okay. I think you got the heart of Frontierland by getting those two attractions in. And then we're going to head over to Liberty Square. And I have to lay this up. I don't even know whose turn it is, but I can't lay this up without giving it to Christina. Because this is her jam.
Oh, I was hoping you would do that. Yay! Where are we going? To Haunted Mansion. Oh my gosh. Look, guys, if we're going to have to skip over things and stuff, this is the one that we're doing, right? I mean, what's there not to love about Haunted Mansion? You can't even go by without it catching your eye. Even on the outside, you're walking through even the standby queue. You got different little pieces of funny horror or special touches, and there's just so much to look at all walking through it. So many different tricks, if you will, when you're going in to the pre-show, to the first room. It's, of course, we're not gonna get into all the fun little spots about it because we've been there before, but it's just something that you just absolutely have to do. And Haunted Mansion is something that we typically run to as a family. And it is something that, you know, you got to get on there when you can. You can't wait. You might miss your chance and the wait times go up, and it's got to be a priority.
It's something that, you know, when I first went to Disney with the family and everything, I didn't really care for Haunted Mansion that much. And then the more and more I did it, the more and more I grew to the attraction. And it's just become a must-do for our family. You know, it's, again, you're getting solid value with the length that you get with this attraction. You know, you're getting a lot of different, you're going through a lot of different scenes and everything, a lot of different animatronics that you're seeing. And even though I'm not really big into that kind of like darkness, kind of horror-ish spin, you know, I know Disney kind of horror, it still is something that we really enjoy. And I've just grown to, it's grown so much on me over the years, and I'm really glad I'm a fan of it. And, it's just a must do for us.
I really enjoy it. I enjoy the whole thing. I enjoy approaching the mansion and the queue and all the things that you're seeing, including the Hatbox Ghost now, which is pretty cool. And I know there's controversy where he's at. Some people don't like it, but I think it's great. And I think, you know, if you're going in trying to look for new things, it's real easy to do. You know, I will say sometimes it seems like, you know, it breaks down a lot, or maybe it's just a slow loader, but overall, I definitely give it a huge amount of credit that I didn't give it before. I do want to correct myself. The riverboat is actually in Liberty Square, not Frontierland. So I apologize about that. And we're not going to do anything else in Liberty Square. I mean, we got Hall of Presidents when we got the riverboat. I mean, the Hall of Presidents, I mean, you heard us talk about it in the boys trip on how much we enjoyed it, but you know, family of four, 7 to 13. I think, you know, you're skipping it every 3 to 5 years, you know, maybe there's a new president in office or something. You want to see it, you know, but we don't have enough time, guys. We had to make cuts. There's no lightning lane with this, you know, so it's kind of on a schedule. And I think that's it for Liberty Square, right? Is there anything else in Liberty Square? I think we're done.
No, that's it in terms of Rise and Attraction.
Yeah, that's going to be it.
We skipped a ton of stuff, but there's still a couple things left that we got to give a shout out for that made our list. So Christina, this one was yours. You want to tell everybody?
Well, I can't even begin to explain the song is lovely, but the whole time we're setting up for the podcast, I'm sitting here going, it's the festival of the song, guys. It lives with you. But we're talking about the Festival of Fantasy Parade. At any rate, whether it's a cavalcade or whatever parade that they're doing at the time, you have to just take a moment and really take that all in. No matter what age our girls were going then or now, we always get so excited. I don't care how old we are. We're waving to the characters. We're waving to the princesses. I am a whole almost middle-aged woman, and if one of those characters even makes eye contact with me, you better believe I am giddy like a 5-year-old girl. So it's just so much fun. The music all around, you're waiting and seeing everybody come around, and it's just really nice. The music, everybody getting excited and stuff, and even when they go, they go around a couple times a day, and even if you've seen it and it's going by when you're just like walking through or something, it just gives you a little spark of something extra. So we always try to do those the extra little fun things that just make your day. And maybe next time you go back in 3 to 5 years, it won't even be the same parade, or you just never quite know when you'll get the next opportunity to see something like that. So you should always take advantage of those parades and special events that they're having.
Yeah, Christina, I'm so glad you put Festival Fantasy on air. I mean, overall, you know, I was talking about this with Mark earlier. It's weird how I feel about parades. I definitely dig them. I think that, you know, they're entertaining, and it's something that if I go over a 7 or 8 day trip, you know, a long trip, I'll definitely try to fit pieces of the parade. And I don't want to say that I've grown stale of Festival of Fantasy, because I don't feel that way, and I still appreciate, respect it like crazy. I would kind of like to see something new at some point, but it, you know, where else are you going to see all the characters that you mentioned and the awesome floats? And, you know, we didn't have any meet and greets in our list. I mean, this is the perfect time where you're seeing these characters up close and they're walking by. And, you know, the Festival of Fantasy, it delivers there. So, Mike, pivoting over to you. I know you're not the hugest parade guy, but what do you think about this?
Yeah, you said it best. I am not a huge parade guy. There are some parades I do really enjoy, and this is actually one of them. I've seen it a few times, so it's not something that I'm going to stop and see, you know, do it yearly. But like you said, if you're going every couple years, every 3 years, and you're not really meeting the characters, this is a perfect one where you can see a whole bunch of characters. You know, you got, like you said, the Tangle characters, Little Mermaid, I think Peter Pan, even Merida, Sleeping Beauty, and so many other characters. And the floats too that you see. The one that stands out is the one on the Tangled one with the swinging pendulums, right? That go back and forth. And Peter Pan, you know, kind of like seeing Peter Pan and Hook and you know, Wendy and all them, kind of like all. It's just a really cool experience to witness. And like Christina was singing earlier, the song's catchy. And it's something that, again, I'm not a huge parade guy, but this is probably, I think, in terms of parades off the top of my head, probably fourth in Disney parades. So which you know, two of them are only four specific events. So when you're at Magic Kingdom on just an ordinary day, you know, and the parade's going on, take a few minutes. It's only 12 minutes where the parade goes by, and just kind of take it all in.
Well said.
And if you guys don't mind, I just wanted to add, I'm 100% with you with the nighttime energy, Matt, because we've said a million times, we love the Main Street Electrical Parade, but that is obviously not something that we can enjoy right now. It would be nice, even not going as frequently. I've seen Festival of Fantasy what feels like a million times now, but we do prioritize it because we don't get there as much. But the parades are something that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem like they consistently throw much new at you, you know, which is nice when you can only go ever so often and you love something in particular, but it would be nice to see something new and fresh there. And like you said about the special shows and stuff, it's just when you're at a Christmas party or like you said, Mickey's Not So Scary, those parades are just on a whole other level. Wow. After seeing the parade at the Christmas party, that right. was just, that'll, you know, knock your socks off. Yeah. But yeah, it is. I like a good parade, but it would be nice to see something new come through there or switch it up for us. But anyway, we will see, but you never quite know what'll be there next time. So
yeah, I actually think, I mean, there's a lot of rumors that there's a new parade in development for Disney World for next year. I don't know if it's to replace Festival of Fantasy or if it's a nighttime, you know, parade. I don't know that yet. I mean, I don't think anybody does, but there's definitely something in development. So we'll have to see. I mean, I'd hate to see Festival of Fantasy get killed, you know, get go extinct. But I'd like to see a second show. I think that'd be awesome. So we'll have to see what happens. Mm-hmm. All right.
Bet you Scott knows. Scott probably knows. He's always hoarding
it. Yeah, we got to try to. I'm hoping we can get Scott on before D23. I think he'll be good for that, so, which is in August. So we got a couple months, but we'll grab him, hopefully. We'll pin him down. Yeah, exactly. All right, Mike, I'm going to let you finish with this one because I know we're all going to talk about it. I mean, if you're going to Magic Kingdom, right, you got one day. How do you finish?
Well, of course, you're going to finish watching a nighttime spectacular show, and we're talking about Happily Ever After. It's the firework and the projection mapping show on the castle, and it's really like no other show that you're going to see in Disney. It's just when you have the grand castle, right, and then you pair it with fireworks, you pair it with projections from the Disney movies, and you pair it with the different music throughout the Disney films, you know, talking about how they all live happily ever after. I think there's different like songs with that talk about like dreams, like with Tiana, like journey, like friendship, love, adversity. And it's just, it all comes together the way they compile it all. And then watching Tinkerbell fly down on the zip line. It's really a remarkable sight. And I know it's something that we always try to do at least once a trip. I know, Matt, you're really big into potentially doing shows, you know, two times if possible, you know, because it's just that good of a show, and you want to take advantage of the time and potentially seeing it. So if you're there once every 3 years and there's one show that you're going to see, this is the show that you probably want to target. Christina.
Oh my gosh.
Let me hear your thoughts.
Love. If you do nothing else, I am having half a mind to say, if you walk in Magic Kingdom and walk out, do it at night for this. Like, you just, it is a whole day of loving Disney embodied in a nighttime spectacular. So, I mean, it may take a little bit of time. You got to get your spot. You could do the whole rush the hub thing that Matt does, which really, really gives me heartburn.
Storm the castle.
But,
huh? You got to storm the castle.
I can't. The thought of the anxiety of storming the castle, like, leave it to Matt. He would storm the castle. That is just not in me. But hey, if that's your cup of tea, storm the castle. I'm more of a sit with a bucket of popcorn and try to keep the kids busy kind of girl. But at any rate, no matter how you do it, get yourself a good spot. Get your warm and fuzzies going and just look at your family and cry like I do, because it's just so beautiful. And you can just take that one moment and, you know, take it all in, because being there and doing the work that you need to do to make that dream come true, to take your family to Disney World, and that just all ties it up and just slaps a bow on it for me. Just standing there and looking at my kids with those big old eyes, looking at Tinkerbell flying through the sky and hearing that music, and just knowing, you know, that me and my husband were able to get them there is incredible. So take in that moment, and that is so important to a trip. Maybe one of the most important things, in my opinion.
Yeah, you guys really echoed all of my feelings. If you're not going to Magic Kingdom for every 3 to 5 years, and you're not staying for the nighttime show, what are you doing? Like, I'm sorry. Like, this is where I built the Disney Comeback Index.
You're right.
I mean, I know Mike went during COVID and stuff, but honestly, guys, like, I wasn't going back to Disney World until these shows came back. Like, I just wasn't. It wasn't, I didn't want to just go from ride to ride. I just, you know, that's, and I know, like, somebody like Mike that makes him tick, right? It's still better than being home. I get it. But, you know, I'm looking at a website, you know, I don't know how accurate it is. collinsrace1.wordpress.com. This was back in 2019, but they said that it cost $45,000 a night to do the spectacular. That was 2019. 5 years, I mean, it's probably 80 grand. And like, and there's more components to the show now, right? They have upgraded technology, and now they're doing projections down Main Street. I mean, it's probably not a far stretch to say that every night Disney is putting on a $100,000 show, right? And it's put on a show that's going to dazzle you, that's going to wow you each time, that you're going to pick up new parts, that's going to inspire you, that the pyro and you know, the fireworks and, you know, the lasers and the music and Tinkerbell, like, it's just all there. Like, so, you know, my wife has she has a friend that's down there, actually today, and they got in line, you know, for to watch Happily Ever After. They got there nice and early, and she just, I said, how was Happily Ever After? And she said, amazing. And she had a picture of her husband and her daughter and said, my little one was amazed. And, you know, he's holding her. And that's honestly, like, I don't think that just reaches, you know, the 7-year-old and the 13-year-old, but I think it reaches mom and dad too. I think it's like Christina said, like you're taking it all in and you're seeing everybody else take it all in. And dude, Disney's putting out their money to show you the show. Like they're, you know, like, yeah, you could go get on, you know, Pirates again or Tron again. Right. Like, and maybe that's your thing, but if you're going once every 3 to 5 years, you gotta, you, this has to be the priority to me. Now, Christina, you echoed some of, you know, and I always think of Phil because he's like, oh, it's, you know, too much stress trying to storm the castle, too much anxiety. And I agree. That's not for everybody. Right. Just get a spot, you know, just get a spot, show up 45 minutes early, maybe an hour early. You know, if that means you kind of, you know, you play a little like, okay, these two people run here, run back, just know, like, once it gets like within 20 minutes or half an hour, it's tough to move around. So don't assume that you're going to get back to your family if you do that. But you can pull that off. You can definitely sit back and have a leisurely moment. And that's why you have to respect the dessert parties, because it kind of takes that out of the mix. Now, I haven't done one in a while, but it takes the element out of it. But you're, of course, dishing for it. But yeah, you got to finish your Magic Kingdom day. You know, we went through 11 things, and this was number 11. You got to finish with Happily Ever After. So there's so many people that I hear, oh, you know, we got tired. We left 7 o'clock. Dude, that's, you know what you do? You got to cut down attractions then. Like, if you're not going back for 5 years, you got to remove some from that list that we mentioned and take a nap, go back, and get your kids back. That's how important the show is, in my opinion.
And what kind of Disney trip is it if you don't have a story to tell about waddling out of the park?
You gotta waddle. And here's the other thing.
You gotta do the Disney waddle.
And Christina, you know what? You raise a good point. Is a lot of times, Happily Ever After is not the last thing. Like the park, like in the wintertime, Happily Ever After will go off at 8 o'clock. Well, it might not close till 10 or 11, right? You know, the other nighttime shows don't have that luxury. They don't, right? Usually the last show, the nighttime show, is when the park closes. So you can get Tron in afterwards. You can get Seven Dwarfs in afterwards. Like, you know, if you could still go, you could still go. And you don't have to waddle out. You can waddle forward, you know? So anyway.
Waddle forward.
So anyway, yes.
Waddle forward.
And honestly, who knows how long the show will be around? You don't know, right? So go see it. So, all right. So those are 11. So just to recap, you know, Space Mountain, Tron, Light Cycle Run, Monsters Laugh, Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, PhilharMagic, Pirates of the Caribbean, Big Thunder Mountain, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, Haunted Mansion, Festival of Fantasy, and Happily Ever After. So interesting. What wasn't on our list? We didn't have any meet and greets, right? And I think we all kind of thought about it, and maybe we would prioritize this at another park. We'll have to see, but it's really hard. There's just so much to do there. It's so hard. So we didn't have any meet and greets, right? But I know, like, Christina's a big Ariel fan. There's the Mickey Town Square, and there's characters all over places, Mirabelle, but none of us felt like that trumped, you know, the 11 ones that we chose. People Mover was up there as well. We all really like it, but we skipped it, right? We couldn't fit in our 11. Carousel Progress, Hall of Presidents. There's a ton of stuff on there that we just did not have time to do. So, and probably a lot more than I'm not mentioning, but real quick, before we go on to dining, is there any thoughts, guys, in terms of like that moment of Zen, right? Like, and maybe it's just you're standing in front of the castle. I think that'd be mine. Just stop and smell the roses, check out the castle at nighttime or something. Like, you guys have any other moments like that, that you'd be like, all right, I'm here. I'm letting it soak in.
No, I think you said it best that I'm pretty sure that you're absolutely right to say that that castle moment, you know, when you turn that corner and you see that castle in front of you and you're just like, oh, and you walk down Main Street and you have that, you know, everybody's on the side with their balloons or their, you know, trading pins or the, you know, the Dapper Dans are here and it's just the whole package all in one. And you know that the kids are going to just lose their minds. So you're taking it in as, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm here. But then you're looking at your kids and they're just overflowing with excitement and stuff. And that moment is just like, you know, we're here. And that sight is just the most beautiful sight.
Yeah, that's well said. And I echo that too. I was trying to think of another potential like Zen kind of spot at Magic Kingdom. And the other one that comes to my mind is when I leave Magic Kingdom and I see the train station kind of behind me all lit up and I look back and I think, you know, this is such a great day. You know, I really don't want to leave. But then it just that view and how it's all lit up and the sign Magic Kingdom and everything, I do always get a sense where I look back at it and just think how awesome the place is.
Yeah, that's well said.
I love that.
That's great. Yes. I think there's like a little thing that says see you real soon or something like that when you're walking out too. And sometimes
yes.
It's like pumpkins
yes, as you're exiting,
or whatever.
Yep.
Exactly
yeah,
what I was
agreed.
Just thinking about.
Yes,
yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
The train station. Oh,
and
God,
I'll give
yeah.
you one more. I'll give you one more Zen moment in Magic Kingdom. Okay. This is not the castle, but it's pretty darn good. Walking up to the Tron entrance at night is you got the music, you got the coaster going off, you got the lights, you got that canopy. It is really special. It's really good. So I would say that because, you know, we're going to see that in other parks when we get to it. There's other lands you're like, oh, it just takes your breath away. Tron's there. Tron gets it. So anyway, just wanted to kind of mention that one. And I can't wait for you to do that, Christina, just to experience that. All right. Let's go real quick. Table service. Go to Christina first. So, and by the way, you could do, you got your day, right? But you want to stop and have a lunch, right? And you probably want to have a quick service dinner or lunch or, you know, but if for our, you know, I guess our illustration, our example, we're going to do one table service and one quick service or snack. Let's just go with that because that will kind of round out your day. So, Christina, why don't you give us your table service?
So, I just really, really, really loved the experience that our family had at Crystal Palace. And I think that if you're, you know, not getting the opportunity to go all the time and, you know, you don't really want to take a lot of time to... Sure, there's a lot of restaurants all over the place, but maybe you don't want to take a lot of time to leave the park and go eat at a resort or come back or, you know, it's a lot of shuffling and sometimes that takes time away. And maybe there's not all these choices that, you know, well, we have good choices here, but it's, you know, our family doesn't like that style of food. Or what I like about Crystal Palace is that it's good with buffet style. Everybody has something that they can choose from. We went for breakfast and got to enjoy the characters also, which was incredible. It was classic characters, Winnie the Pooh and friends. And even though I was very much into Winnie the Pooh when I was a little girl, but my daughters have never really been crazy, crazy about it, but they had the time of their life. It didn't even matter, you know, that they weren't their absolute most favorite characters. We just had such a great time. It's a beautiful environment. It's cozy. You are getting into the park and getting excited to have breakfast. Once upon a time, you could do the early entry. So there's just, you know, depending on the state of the parks at that time, there's different perks to go into breakfast, having a reservation and everything. So it was just really nice there. choices for everybody. The characters came around a lot. You really got your time with them, even though it's a big restaurant. And it's just the environment, everything is really nice. And we really enjoyed it there. There was something for everybody. So that would be our definite top choice for a table service restaurant in Magic Kingdom.
Love it. I actually have not eaten at Crystal Palace yet, so I got to get there. The part of it was my kids just never.
You have to.
My kids never were into Winnie the Pooh, but I will try to get there soon because it's. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, don't let that stop you because it really. I mean, we wanted to go, but it was that's kind of what kept stopping us. Well, they're not big Winnie the Pooh, but I'm really glad we did it.
Okay, very good. Mike, do you mind if I go?
Yeah, go for it, Matt. Yep.
I'm going to go with Skipper's Canteen. I would probably struggle with this list. I was kind of afraid Mike would take it. It's a pretty.
I was going to take it.
It's a pretty solid place.
And there's somewhere that I haven't been, so let's hear it.
It's a pretty solid place. It's got like different ethnic food, and it's real themed to Jungle Cruise and stuff. It's very solid. I still wouldn't say it's like my favorite place in the world. I'm not crazy about the restaurants in Magic Kingdom. You know, I think Be Our Guest is beautiful inside, but it's a train wreck with your wallet and the way it's configured right now. And Cinderella's
it's so hard.
Yeah,
right now,
Cinderella's Royal Table. Right. It's just that's a one and done, unless you got grandkids or something. Like, I'm not planning to do that one again. So, Tony's Town Square is okay, but I haven't done it in a long time. So I'm going with Skipper's Canteen. I think it kind of earned that spot. So, Mike, I'm going to pivot to you and let you go with the last one.
Yeah. Let me go to the bullpen here because my my pick is taken there. If you're talking about like a one-and-done kind of deal, Cinderella's is a good one, like Matt said. Just because the fact that you're dining into the castle, I'm not going to use that as my pick, but – I just wanted to kind of put that blurb out there. I would probably say I had some good experiences at Liberty Tree Tavern, and where you get your traditional kind of like Thanksgiving kind of meal, and it's all you care to enjoy kind of style. Very nice theme kind of rooms in that colonial time. Food was always pretty solid, and it's a lot of food that you can eat. It's very heavy, so just keep that in mind when you're there. You're eating it, and that's probably it for the night, maybe, because it can be a lot of food. But overall, in terms of price, it's average compared to most of the all you care to enjoy style places. I think it's $42 for adult, $23 for kids, and it's solid. It's if you like Thanksgiving food, this is definitely one for you. Just keep in mind, you're also at a theme park, so it might be a lot that you're eating, that you're taking in. And the dessert too. Matt, you help me out here. I'm drawing a blank here. It's the ubi gooey toffee cake. Exactly, it was outstanding.
I haven't been there yet, believe it or not.
I would choose that one.
I haven't been there yet. It's on my list. I got to get to it. I just want to get stuff checked off, but yeah, that's a good call. All right, Mike, I think because
I'm still in pain over Liberty.
What's that, Christina?
I said I'm still in pain.
I know. Yeah, it was a bad experience.
But I need a redo.
I know. Mike, I'm going to let you pick the first quick service since you went last. How's that?
Speak for both of us, Mike. Let's have.
I might be speaking for all three. I'm picking Sleepy Hollow's refreshments.
I mean, there you go. All right.
Yeah, I mean the waffle very chicken good, sandwich is just a home run.
The spicy chicken waffle. Yes.
Yes, yeah. And then, of course, if you don't want a fried piece of chicken, they also have a nice, healthier alternative with the Nutella and the fresh fruit, right? With banana, blueberries, and strawberries with the Nutella mix on the waffle that my girls get, my wife and daughter, and they love it. Definitely a home run.
Yeah, great. I agree. Christina, any other thing to add? I was going to say, and you'll probably back me up on this, the Dole Whip. I'm almost positive the Dole Whip started in Magic Kingdom. I think I was watching.
Yes, please get a Dole Whip.
Dole Whip is like the problem is I can kind of get it now. It even my ice cream place down the street. If I couldn't, I would think this is an absolute must do each time I would go, is to get a Dole Whip. But yeah, I mean, and they have all kinds of
rice. I don't want a Dole Whip unless I can see Mickey while I'm eating it. Okay. I don't care if I can get it next door to my house. I don't want it unless I'm in Magic
Kingdom. I agree.
Because it tastes better there, Matt. It tastes better there.
It does. It does.
But at any rate, I want to throw a little sprinkle at Gaston's, because I mean, not that Mike's Choice wasn't top notch. Mike's Choice was absolutely top notch, but
mine's quick service. This is more of a snack, right? So this is kind of
quick service or snack. And I went Dole Whip, and she's going with the cinnamon roll.
Yeah.
Am I breaking rules?
No, fine. You're good. We all would have went with this.
I was just going to say, yeah. I know you had a tough choice, because look, regardless to wherever else we are, we could call it a snack or whatever we want to call it, but the options for snacks and small bites, I think, in Magic Kingdom fare to be better than the table service options. But at any rate, if you're not going to have breakfast at Crystal Palace like I recommended, please do go over to Gaston's and get yourself a cinnamon roll the size of Mike's head.
Love it.
It's very, very large, and we all love them. We're all big fans, and you could just go there and get full immediately. But don't recommend doing that and then going on anything too intense. So take it as a little downtime and go get yourself a cinnamon roll. We agree that the Lafuse brew. I can never get either. It out. What was fairly too sweet or something, yeah. Right, guys? Like, we weren't like giant fans. We could take it or leave it, right?
Agree.
Yeah, if you like apple, it's a good beverage, I guess.
Yeah, but. But the cinnamon roll, top notch.
Yeah, well said. I agree.
Definitely.
I love it. I mean, you know, there's not a ton there like that makes me go crazy. But I don't think it's weak. It's not like going to Great Adventure and you're getting lousy food. I just nothing wows me, but I don't think it's still not amusement park food. I will say, stay away from the churros there. Like, don't even bother. Christina, when you go, like, save the churro for Disneyland or for Nomad Lounge. Like, don't even, and I haven't had the Nomad Lounge, but I heard it was really good there. Just don't even bother. It's dry. It's you know, your kids will be like, I don't like churros because you went with that bad choice.
It's a bad churro. It's a bad first churro. Impression is what you're saying. I should just pretend they don't even exist until we
that's
get
right.
to California.
That would be my recommendation.
That's it, guys.
All right.
Matt, real quick too. I just want to mention the spring roll cart. I know that's a big popular snack for a lot of people. Yeah. The spring roll cart and turkey leg, which I have not tried. I probably will never try it. That's just enormous, and it's very intimidating to even think about eating. But I just wanted to mention those two.
I should do the turkey leg one day, just to, you know, maybe have like a turkey leg and a Dole Whip in the other hand, just to kind of counterbalance.
We've had a turkey leg.
How is it?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? No, the turkey leg was fantastic.
Really?
And now listen, like a little disclaimer here. We were that gross family eating off of one turkey leg. All right.
No judgment.
No, there's some stigma in the Disney World community, but we weren't sitting there taking, you know, me and Ray weren't each on one side taking a chomp or anything. The girls were a little, we weren't like Lady and the Tramping this chicken leg or anything, but turkey leg, sorry. We were kind of doing like the whole rip a few pieces off kind of thing. But I'll tell you what, the girls were smaller. We were all full off of one turkey leg. And it was good. It was
all
really,
right.
Really good.
Mike, we got to try it one day.
Not the most comfortable thing to eat at Magic Kingdom. I think we, as a matter of fact, I feel like we had our turkey leg at Animal Kingdom, if I'm being honest. I can't remember. But we definitely had a Disney turkey leg, and it was fantastic. So 10 out of 10 recommend.
All right. And I think eventually they'll have beignets there. I think eventually they will. I know they had them temporarily, but I think they'll have them as soon as Tiana's by Adventures open. I think they'll have it open. So I think they'll have something there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, this is, if you don't go to Disney World in 3 to 5 years, this is what you want to get in. This is, you know, this will complete your Magic Kingdom day. You'll feel fulfilled. And look, if you get a bonus Magic Kingdom day, you can spread them out. You can just go back and watch Happily Ever After at night, you know, like Christina said, right? Like, that's how you kind of stagger stuff. But if you get one day, these are the things we say you can't skip. You got to do them. And how would you do Genie Plus stuff? You know, that's a whole other conversation. You know, there was like some rides we didn't have. Peter Pan's Flight and Jungle Cruise, both of them are like, they sell out for Genie Plus like extremely early in the beginning of the day, or not sell out, but their window just gets pushed out. You know, like I would say after that, Mike, it's like what, Big Thunder and Space Mountain. But like all these other ones, man, you can get like Genie Plus for throughout the day, and it's they seem like they're pretty reasonable. So Genie Plus is great value at Magic Kingdom for sure. All right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
That's all I got. You guys got anything else you want to add?
No. Just saying not to be intimidated by the amount of things. Just go there with a must-do list and just play it by ear for parts of it. Just make sure that what's important for your family is what you do, and the rest is it's up to the day and how you plan it, however you want.
Yeah, just like you said, you know, we tour different from potentially what you might want to tour. You know, you might have younger kids, you might want to target the meet and greets, you might want to target the stage shows. We didn't really talk about that, right in front of the castle. Sometimes you might want to take in the Dapper Dan singing, or you might want to splurge a little bit if you have a little one who wants to become a princess, you know, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, you know, with some of those additional enhancements that you could add on when you're there for your day. So a lot of options. Magic Kingdom has a ton. You know, when we go for a week, my family, we still don't hit everything up, you know, that Magic Kingdom has to offer. And when we're going there 2 to 3 times, it's just, there's so much you can do. And that's exactly why we love it. And that's why we keep going back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well said. And,
I love it.
I mean, this is how I think Mary Poppins, who's proper, would attack Magic Kingdom. This is the Magic Kingdom proper. That's the episode. So that's it. That's all we got. We'll be back with our next park in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening to another episode of Happily Everything Disney.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.